Announcing today a major mid-course correction in our bid to improve Indiana's worst-in-America welfare system. I've ordered the termination of IBM's contract as the general contractor or prime contractor over the improvement efforts. We will now be trying again with a hybrid system in which we try to incorporate the best of both, the old and the new, and learn from mistakes. The state will assume the role of the integrator or prime contractor going forward. The IBM method, I want to stress, had the best of intentions, but it was very flawed in concept in a couple of key ways. It had, for instance, the intention to save welfare applicants the burden of a face-to-face meeting. This led to incomplete applications and confusion about what documents were necessary. It just did not work in practice. There was an attempt to break the determination process up into discrete tasks, assembled, done by specialists and then assembled together. Looked good on paper, did not work in practice. And so we will be abandoning these concepts, going back to the system in which clients, applicants will be required to come in face-to-face to make their application, and we hope that will not be too inconvenient for them in most cases. And we'll go back to a system in which all aspects of a client's case, an applicant's case, which could involve more than one assistance program, will be handled by one person or team. There were positive things which we will keep from the new approach. The fraud that was rampant in Indiana's welfare system has apparently stopped. There hasn't been a single allegation, let alone conviction, whereas there were dozens. And the official reports say over $100 million was stolen in the last year before we began to try to make this change. I think everyone who has looked at the system prefers a paperless system to the boxes of files and the chaos that really has existed before. And finally, although they will be smaller than we had originally projected, this will still save Indiana taxpayers tens of millions of dollars a year. So there have been some positive steps forward that we will seek to keep, but we will return in certain critical ways to a system more like the one we knew. I want to commend the critics, those who have raised concerns and alarms, legislators, advocates, and others. In many, many respects, they were right. The system wasn't working, and it wasn't getting better, despite best efforts. And thank them for their care for the clients and for the information they brought to our attention. I do want to commend IBM, even though we're terminating them today. It's important to say a couple of things. They did try hard. If resources would have fixed this problem, we wouldn't be making this announcement. They hired more than 1,000 more people than were working on welfare in Indiana before. But that didn't do the job, and that is just evidence that it wasn't resources, it wasn't effort, it was a flawed concept that simply did not work out in practice. It's also important to remember that as part of this contract, IBM brought 1,000 new separate private sector jobs to Indiana at Daleville and Anderson. And those people are at work today on in productive employment because of this contract. And so for that also we're grateful. I have said frequently that we would attack Indiana's problems head on. We would make the best judgments we could. We would do what seemed to make sense. If we discovered that our first effort was not adequate or was not the best way forward, then we would try something different. That's exactly what we're announcing today, and we're determined to make this work eventually.
Governor, how much has been spent already on the contract?
Well, the answer to that is much less than we would have spent if we hadn't gone to it. Again, we are saving, we projected initially maybe $50 million a year over the first 10 years. Now it looks more like 40. But this is much less expensive even than had we had a hands-off approach, and much less expensive, more savings than that, compared to if we tried to fix the old system in place. As you remember, we had a commission with six cabinet members on it, led by Earl Goode, that spent over a year looking at all the options before we chose this one. So we will save a lot of money, but we will save less than we had hoped, and it'll be a while before we know exactly.
But of the $1.34 billion, how much of that has been already paid to IBM?
I don't know the answer to that.
Governor, what are you going back to, or what is the state going back to? Critics have said that you've blown up the pool of resources from very experienced workers, caseworkers who know this, know the Medicare system inside and out, and they're gone. They're in the
A lot of them needed to be gone. They were the ones giving money to their cronies and friends. They were running the worst welfare system in America, number 50 in welfare to work. The federal government sanctioned Indiana for the failures of its system. So doing nothing was not an option. Now, the vast majority of those people, or all of them, actually stayed employed when the change occurred. And I don't know how many of them are still on the job. But we'll need better training. That was another finding of the study that we've made. But we're going back to the face-to-face system. We're going back, as I said, to case management, which is the one that those folks were familiar with. And we consider that a lesson learned.
How you expect to make it through the transition?
I'm sorry.
About how you plan to make it through this transition and to the people out here who still need these benefits and need help.
Yeah.
How you're going to make sure that they get it.
Yeah, well, nothing's going to change for now. It needs to, of course, because the system was not timely enough before. It's not timely enough now. It was making way too many errors before. It's making too many errors now. Some people who don't deserve benefits are getting them. Some people do deserve benefits or not. All that has to get better. But the system itself won't change, except that we will, as quickly as possible, migrate back to face-to-face application and to a so-called case-based, as opposed to task-based, determination of eligibility, yes or no.
So it's a phase-out of the system, not an instant change back?
Well, there will be a phase-out to make certain that service is not disrupted, but it'll be as fast as we can make it.
How many employees will the state have to hire back?
I'm not sure that there'll be any. As I said, there are 1,000 more people working right now.
Right, but they work for IBM.
Then were, yes.
So how many will the state have to hire to go back to the case management and the face-to-face?
I don't know the answer. Probably very few. Remember, we have hundreds of state workers. All eligibility determinations are being made by state workers under the current system, and that'll remain the same.
So we shouldn't see too much impact then in state budget at all because of these changes?
No.
As I recall, when Earl Goode and the rest of that commission brought back the report, what we said at the time was, we know Texas had some problems, we know what they were, we can fix them. Could another state hire a private agency or organization to do this successfully, or is this something that just can't be done privately?
It has nothing to do with private or public. It had to do with a concept. If you'd tried to use the same concept IBM brought and every worker was a state worker, you'd have had exactly the same results or worse. And it's very fundamental that everyone understand this. Remember that the activities of FSSA are 94% done through contractors now. And that is absolutely the rule, not the exception. There's anything different about this. The problems here were in the approach taken and the method. And I want to stress again, the intentions that the company had, that the contract had, were to improve convenience to clients and to improve accuracy. Didn't work. When something doesn't work, we stop doing it, try something better.
Can you explain the decision-making process you went through on this? I mean, this couldn't have been an easy thing. I know you tried to take a second look at it. Clearly, you felt this was the ultimate decision. Can you explain the process you went through in ultimately making this decision?
Well, we try to make decisions based on facts and data. So we told IBM that as we watched the months go by and the errors and the timeliness, as the critics had pointed out, were not up to standard. In fact, they were far short of it. We put them on a corrective plan, said by the end of the third quarter, they've got to be, if not all the way to acceptable, they've got to show clear positive improvement. They didn't, so we acted.
When did you inform IBM, and what was their reaction?
They were informed this afternoon by letter, and no reaction so far.
How frustrated are you that something that had such high hopes has come to this?
Sure, I'm frustrated. We're trying our very best to improve a system that touches hundreds of thousands of people in a given year. People who, those who truly are eligible, deserve that assistance. And we're very stubborn about making improvements like that. And so I'm distressed that we've not gone further with this one, but we won't stop, and we think we have a much better way forward now. And, you know, if we can fix the BMV, we can find a way to make this work better, too.
Governor, do you anticipate any litigation from IBM?
Oh, I would hope not, but I don't know what to anticipate there. I would hope not.
Is there a price to cancel the contract?
No comments about any of the those details at this point. I'll just say that we hope that the parting will be amicable. They knew what they had to achieve in order to keep going, and it wasn't achieved. Again, I want to be fair here. They poured people and resources into this. They really did make that effort. They did bring 1,000 jobs to this state, completely unrelated to this contract, and we'll always be appreciative of that. I think the concept that they recommended, which did look good on paper, just had these fundamental flaws. And despite best efforts, you can't make a poorly designed system work well.
Governor, if you could go back to the state employees, because hundreds of people did leave to go to work for IBM.
Yeah.
Don't you have to bring back substantial numbers in order to have these caseworkers?
Most of them will stay on. You know, the ACS really is the employer of most of those people, and ACS will, it's our intention, will continue. The Arbor Company, which was given the assignment of improving our worst in America welfare to work record, it will still be on the job. Incidentally, sifting the data for positive signs in the modernized counties, the welfare to work record was dramatically better than in the old counties. So there may be things that we can learn out of that that are important going forward.
So caseworkers stay working for ACS?
Yeah.
But Governor, most of these people are not caseworkers. They're people, some of them that we've even talked to are from Taco Bell or wherever else they come to do call center work. They are not trained in this type of work. They're trained to operate a computer and to send documents to certain places.
Well, we'll be going back. We'll be putting more people in the county offices because there will not be as many options. There'll still be a need for call centers, but not for eligibility determination. To get on the rolls in the first place, you'll have to go, as in the old system, personally, and make the application there. Now, once in the system, if you have questions, need help, clarifications, there'll still be call center jobs for that, as I understand it, but not for the eligibility determination.
How long will it take for FSSA to achieve the numbers of caseworkers it needs to provide the new services?
As I said, there are 1,000 people more now than were working before, so don't think it's going to be an issue of finding people. I think it's probably more an issue of training people better than before and in this new hybrid arrangement.
You set a deadline for IBM to perform to a certain level.
Yeah.
How do you measure whether this new hybrid system works, and do you have some sort of deadline or performance-based way of judging whether the new system works?
Well, we measure a lot of things, and we expect them, and we will not rest until they're all getting better. Timeliness, that is how long it takes to get a yes or no answer. Accuracy, the system incidentally has been committing more errors by giving dollars to those not eligible than the errors it commits when it turns somebody down incorrectly. Now, all those things have got to get better. But we'll be working now with FSSA as the directly accountable agency and, as I said, the, so to speak, prime contractor.
Will there be any changes to counties that weren't on the IBM program?
Yes, eventually. I mean, for instance, in those counties, they're very eager to get out of the antique world of paper boxes and files stacked in corners.
Right.
And so, yes, the new technology, they're very eager to have it. We want them to have it. They have already, certain aspects of the system are already in place there. A critical one is this. In the old system, the same person who took your application decided if you were eligible. That's how come, that's the way 36 people stole $100 million, 36 that we caught and sent to jail. And that has stopped. And so that's already in place statewide. And so we're trying to get the most, the positive aspects of this change, but we're abandoning those that just didn't work in practice.
Are you putting safeguards in place to prevent a return to that system of fraud?
Yes, I guess, Ken. The most important one is that the person who will face-to-face take the information, and this will help, we now understand, because it'll be much more likely that every piece of paper is there the first time and there's no confusion about what is necessary. Remember, these are federal rules. We don't write these rules. They're very complicated. And but the person who takes that information will then give it to a state worker, a separate person, who will decide yes or no. And this appeared to be the principal method by which people were defrauding the system before.
Can you elaborate on how we can get a better error rate than what we have under the old system?
Everything counts as an error, and that's fair enough, Eric. But for instance, a lot of people, as in the briefings I've been through, brought forward a case and then something was missing, a key date, a piece of paper, and the process had to back up. That's an error, and it certainly affects timeliness. So errors have been endemic in the welfare system. They're unavoidable. Again, the rules are complicated and human beings are involved at every step. But our record's not good enough. Wasn't before, isn't now, and we've got to keep at it till we improve it.
So how is this going to make it faster as far as there's already a backlog?
Yeah.
There's
the biggest problem with timeliness was people making what they thought and the system thought was a complete application and then finding out days later that it wasn't. You have to start over. And that that was the single biggest problem. Now, that we hope will be reduced or ended by going back to a face-to-face system where somebody, while the person's right there, can detect any flaw in the application. And as I understand it, that's probably the single biggest benefit we'll get, or one of them, by going back to the system we knew.
So the person who takes the information, they would be a contract employee?
Yes, they would. And they're simply taking the information and passing it back. Only a state employee, and this is never did change, only the state employee can make the determination. But it will be obviously a separate person.
Why do we need a separate person?
To make certain there's not collusion or cronyism, which was, again, I'm sure there were multiple ways the system was being stolen from before, but the single biggest one was somebody's friend, boyfriend, cousin walks in, they put them on the rolls and stamp them eligible. And no one else ever touches it.
Given Texas's experience here, do you think that we should have learned from them and never done this in the first place?
No. Our system doesn't resemble Texas. I think you'd have to say the mistakes here were different than theirs. We didn't, for one thing, try to roll it out statewide all at once. And thank goodness, because then the problems would have been even bigger. We purposely went step by step so we could stop if we needed to and make a mid-course correction. But it was a concept that looked user-friendly and looked efficient on paper, and sometimes those things just don't work when you take them out on the road.
Do
you think that you've learned something for this that you will apply to other contracts, not welfare, but other issues?
Well, you certainly try to learn from each experience, positive or negative, and I don't doubt that. I can't predict for you now in what context it might come up, but I wouldn't be surprised that somewhere down the line we say, well, now wait a minute, that feels a little bit like the problems we encountered in welfare.
Has the USDA been made aware of the changes that the state is making?
Yes, and I'm told the response of different federal authorities was very positive. But that's a hearsay, but that the people who called them reported that and felt that.
Is this the biggest mistake you've made in this office?
No. Well, I got a long list. I haven't tried to rate them, but listen, I do want to take you back. You'll remember, but if you don't, we've got many, many quotes. Again, the easiest thing to do in a situation like this is throw up your hands and say, well, that's as good as it can be. I mean, this was a daunting thing all along. It still is, of course. But that is not our MO. And we could not leave this system where it was. It was wrong for the applicants. It was wrong for the taxpayers. It was wrong if you believe people should not stay on welfare but should take charge of their own lives and get back to work. And our first attempt didn't get us there. But we did get some positives out of it. We'll just have to take them, and we'll have to reverse the mistakes and move forward. And that's, I've told you for 5 years, that's the way we were going to operate, and this is a classic case. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Yeah.